everyone. Welcome to episode 412 of This Is Whole Life. And if you are unfamiliar, we are a church in the Orlando area. And each week we get together and we discuss the message from the past week. And actually today it's a special Saturday edition because we have a guest speaker in house. So before we go any further, Ken, do you want to introduce who we have today?
I'd love to. So joining us today is Dr. Ron Smith, who is the Southern Union president of the Seventh-day Adventist Church in basically the south of the United States geographically. And for those of you who may not be familiar with Seventh-day Adventist, the org chart and the way things are, Seventh-day Adventists are the way that we organize is that there's the local church, which is the basis of all things. And then from there, there are conferences that oversee geographical group of churches. In our case, we're in the Florida Conference. And then over top of conferences are unions. And basically, the idea is that every time you move up, the more the organization is, it's providing services that a smaller group couldn't do. So in this case, like Dr. Smith, one of the things that the Southern Union does is that they there's Southern Adventist University that is a part of the Southern Union. One of the really significant things that I think that the union does that would be more difficult for individual conferences to do is when it comes to religious liberty issues. For Seventh-day Adventists who are encountering problems with being able to observe Sabbath and have a job, the Southern Union has a department that actually is helpful to people who are encountering those situations, gives them guidance, and in some cases provides legal support for them and that sort of thing. So that's kind of just a small smidge of what really happens. I had the privilege of actually being on the Southern Union Executive Committee for a couple years when I was pastoring up in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I had the chance to get to know Dr. Smith a little bit better in that capacity. And he also spoke at my church in Nashville. And today it's just a pleasure to have him back here have him for the first time at Whole Life Church.
I couldn't believe it. It was the first time and I didn't know you guys worked together before.
Well, worked together. I mean, he's been my boss, right? Like the boss of my boss.
So. The boss of the boss.
Yeah.
And of course, as he indicated, we interface as we serve together at the Southern Union Executive Committee, which engages in the governance of the geography that he just talked about and the entities that are part of that, as he just described.
Hmm.
Obviously, as he met, the reason he inadvertently said, "Nice to have you back," is because he had me already, but not in this pulpit, right. In a former pulpit, yes. In Nashville. So we became acquainted that way.
Yes. Oh, okay. So not the first time he's spoken at a Ken-led church, just this church.
Right. And that's a there great way of saying it was a Ken-led church.
Yeah.
Extraordinary.
I prefer that it was Jesus-led in deference to your sermon today.
That's true. We just operate under the presupposition that Jesus is in you. Well, you exhibit it. You exhibit it so nicely.
I didn't think of it that
way. Did I do an okay job of describing what the Southern Union
I think
does?
So.
Is there anything that you want to add to that I should have?
No, I think what can be also said to corroborate with what you already ably said. And that is there are 8 conferences under the umbrella of the Southern Union.
8?
8 really? Conferences, yes. And it covers the states, you know, of Georgia, North Carolina, South Carolina, Mississippi, Kentucky, North Carolina, South Carolina, Alabama, and Florida.
Alabama and Florida.
And Tennessee.
And Tennessee.
And that's Tennessee. Right. Yep. Wow. I didn't think
And we have, obviously, we support in terms of partnership 3 universities in our territory.
Yes.
Advent Health University is a part of the Southern Union's conglomerate in terms of our partnerships and basically governed through and by Advent Health.
Right.
Organization.
And then Southern Adventist University.
And then Southern Adventist University, and the third is Oakwood. Oakwood University.
I caught
and Oakwood University is a North American division school. However, which is the next step up beyond what Pastor Ken has indicated.
Gotcha.
So basically, yeah, we have the 8 states, 8 conferences, the 3 universities, and obviously we partner with all of our initiatives afoot. And one of the largest, obviously, in the world would be Advent Health.
Yeah.
And we're very happy to be board officers of that. And the CEO president of Advent Health is a member of our president's council. So we counsel together and we coordinate together all of our initiatives that we trust can responsibly govern the Southern Hemisphere of the United States as described by Pastor Ken.
Very nice.
And Ron, isn't the Southern Union one of the largest
unions? Yeah, the Southern Union is the largest union in the North American division.
Okay. Do you know, speaking of Oakwood, do you know Kirk Nugent by chance?
I certainly do. Yes,
yeah, he's a good guy. I met him for the first time.
High technology guy.
Yeah, yes. We're going to be doing, we're going to be visiting there, hopefully not too far into the future.
Okay.
For a little bit of the little collaboration work. So, cool. Hey, if you missed last week because it wasn't like a normal podcast sort of, please don't miss it.
Oh my word. Yeah. You think people might have missed that?
There's been...
That was a good one. I'm going to say that was right in my top five favorite podcasts, if not my favorite that we've done since I've been here.
It was so good. And I've seen just by the numbers in the dashboard that the bonus episodes dropped first, and that was his Friday night talk, which was only like 12 minutes. It was very short.
Right.
And then the Saturday morning for church, which was an amazing. So if you listen to that and you missed the actual podcast with Ken, Melanie, myself, and about 70 or so of the rest of the retreaters that stopped by the King Chapel at Camp Kalakwa to hear us, you're missing important pieces to the story and the background to what he shared during his message.
Now,
you're
saying he, but I don't think we've said who he is. And I think I can see Dr. Smith saying who is this person.
See,
we had our guest join us, and he is a Orlando business owner, except I shouldn't say just Orlando. It covers most of Florida. And I think he's actually expanded some other states.
I think
his name
Georgia,
is John Rivers, and his restaurant chain is called Four Rivers Barbecue. And and just a really great Christian business person. And so he kind of shared with us what it meant to be kind of a ministry first business. And his business, I don't think he kind of got a little, he's like, it's okay if you say it, but it's not, but basically his Four Rivers Barbecue is named the number one casual eating restaurant in Florida.
Wow.
Just recently. And so, so it was really gracious of him to come out, and he just had some really neat insights about what it means to view your business as a ministry first and business second. And clearly he's doing. And one of the other really cool initiatives that he has, Dr. Smith, is that he has a nonprofit that he started called Four Roots that deals with food insecurity. He was talking to us about how much food goes to waste that isn't used, that's just out in the fields and just basically rots on the vine or whatever else. Mm-hmm. And so he's working initiatives to put that food into places that could use it. He's also doing education so that folks who may not be used to receiving fresh produce know how to use that. I mean, he shared kind of a touching story about a family that received produce, but they didn't know what to do with it. So they were throwing it away because they had just never seen that before. They didn't know what to do with it. And so anyway,
it was a good
podcast. So if you didn't listen to that, now I will say every podcast gets better. So I'm sure today will be my next favorite.
Well, that's usually how it works. And when you have quality guests, it really brings up our game. Let's be honest.
I think we should also mention that John Rivers was a really good sport and he tried some of our quote unquote Adventist veggie meats.
Yes. Oh, you just, you dropped the spoiler.
Oh,
well, so
are we posting that today?
No. We are posting that actually this afternoon.
Okay.
And we're posting.
So it's okay.
It's
already posted.
Did he mention about the possibilities of barbecuing some of the veggie meat?
That's what we were trying to get at. And so we'll have to let you watch that once we're done with podcast so you can see. We had him try Swiss steak.
Mercy.
Fried chick.
And stripples.
And stripples. Yeah. And so...
Yeah, we'll give Dr. Smith a sneak preview just so you have it. But for the rest of y'all, you'll have probably seen it by the time this comes out. But it'll be on social media this afternoon, which is Saturday, the 20th. And it just as another promotion, like if you miss the podcast, don't, because this is the personality of the person. It's kind of his fun side, but even his serious side has a fun and energy to it that you really just don't want to miss. And some of the stories, and so many people afterwards were like, this was a great podcast. It was a great message. And it really brought together the whole weekend. Also, if you didn't catch this actual sermon we're about to talk about and the church service,
Don't miss it.
You're missing GCA's orchestra. Of course, you're missing Dr. Smith's message. You're also missing out on Melanie and Rand. I mean, there's just a ton of things that you're missing out on. That's all I'm saying. You should definitely check it out.
I think you know.
Did I oversell that? Last one?
Maybe a little. That's okay. All right.
All right. So this morning, the message that Dr. Smith prepared for us, and it was God's power.
God's use of power.
God's use of power. I was going to say God's power. I had that backwards.
And we say it different ways. I kind of say the use of power God's way.
Or use of power God's way. That's what I was thinking. Yeah. You're right. He did
write the sermon, Randy.
Yeah, he knows. He
you
knows
have the last word.
No, but I thought it was interesting that a lot of times we think about almost like God just letting everything happen because this was, and we'll get to these a little bit more in the questions that were posted in the chat this morning. You're talking about God's power, and I don't think I've really thought about it in the same way of, and by the way, I'm old enough to have Rod Serling is my guy.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
So a little Twilight Zone action. I was like, hey, he's on point with this. I'm down. I was a huge fan for many years. But thinking about how that played out and thinking about that when God has used his power and how powerful he is and how much less powerful Satan really is being defeated, and yet we give Satan so much power over us so easily, it seems, at times. And I thought that the difference in the way you promote, the way you described that happening was a total paradigm shift for the way I've thought about this in the past, and I'm still processing it in my mind. I really thought that you made the difference in how good God is, though, with that power, and how we're so the zeros after the paycheck, and then you kind of put us in that same position and things that we deal with today, that it's easy to poke at the devil and say, yeah, he's bad, he does all this, and then you start putting all of our favorite little things in that same ranking, and then it makes you really stop and think about how much you're not trusting God with things. And that was, to me, that was the really powerful part of what you said, was just that if that picture doesn't make you love Jesus a little bit more and want to give him other things that you've maybe been thinking about, struggling with, I think that was a great invitation. I don't know if that was exactly where you were thinking as you were preparing the message, but that's what I took out of it.
Certainly the concept that you mentioned just now, I embraced in my quest to convey the word this morning. We gain resources as we live. We harness, we amass stuff as we live. Power, according to the world's concept, in terms of influence, in terms of financial worth, in terms of licensures and credentials and degrees and positions and status in various areas of life. We climb and we achieve and we get there, and obviously we are positioned to really make some tough choices and a whole lot of choices and decisions that affect people. And I think it's, I guess what was on my heart and what's on my heart certainly embraces what you said. And also, Lord, as I harness the resourcefulness that I've just described, help me to have your heart as I seek to interface with other people and as I serve other people. I don't want to make it about me. I want to make it about your glory and who you are. And I don't want to just get stuff and start just feeling myself and smelling myself and just feeling like I've arrived. And, because that's probably the greatest culprit, in having a meaningful life, just getting sucked into this enticement of just feeling like, wow, I'm really all of that. And as they used to say, all of that and a bag of chips. And a dill pickle and a brownie and a smoothie at the end of the day. Am I all of that, or am I given this so God can trust me to use his heart to impact other people the way he has impacted me.
Wow, Dr. Smith has just barely been here, and he's already caught on to the fact that we talk about food a lot.
Yeah.
So that whole description, like dill pickle,
we were there.
Brownie.
I mean,
there is not
you
a
know,
podcast that goes by that we don't talk about food. So
and I mean, Whole Life Church and the whole technology team. I mean, just the fact that you've embraced a Christian business person who runs a restaurant and. He likes veggie meat and has barbecue barbecue sauce to put on it, and you know, I'm just saying, wow!
What it's major, almost like he's already watched it.
What major monumental breakthroughs we have in terms of ministry here?
Yeah, but yeah. I do have a question that I wanted to kind of run past you a little bit. When I preach, sometimes I'll sometimes preach on things that have kind of special meaning to me. I think that. We could argue that you're in a fairly powerful position within the Seventh-day Adventist Church. It may not feel that way to you, or maybe, I don't know, but for those of us who are maybe in a local church, we look up and we say, oh, well, there's Dr. Ron Smith, the Southern Union president, you know, the boss of my boss, and that's a pretty powerful position to be in. And so as you think of in terms of this sermon, what do you see within the Seventh-day Adventist church organization and that sort of thing? And does the message kind of apply a little bit to some of the processes and the things that are going on within the denomination, whether it's on the Southern Union, North American Division, General Conference, Florida Conference? How would you, Pastor Ken,
I think it certainly does apply. I think there is a relationship between even the role that I currently serve in, which can be perceived by others. And if I succumb to, you know, one of the culprits called narcissism, if I succumb to that, you know, within, I mean, it could seem like, you know, I've kind of gotten a big job. You know, I'm the shot caller and that kind of thing. It could be that. Obviously, to succumb to that, I recognize, is really a death sentence, because pride really does go before fall. However, I think what looking at Christ's approach to when you just think of the whole concept of Jesus Christ coming to earth to rescue us, I mean, really, I mean, the earth is such, it's like a piece of dust. And when you look at the spectrum of the universe made up of not just our solar system, but solar systems, which are light years apart with planets and rotation moons and everything of their own. And the Lord would, you know, just come to this little helpless little piece of dust and permanently identify himself with it, and with his intention to establish the headquarters of the universe right here on earth, the headquarters of heaven and earth through the New Jerusalem that he talks about. Mm. I mean, for him to permanently bear scars and identify himself with us, it's mind-boggling to try and contemplate. How is that strength? I mean, what is strong about that? You know, but then I'm saying, wow, the restraint, the commitment, and the strength that it took for Christ to transcend all of those elements, circumstantial elements and physical elements, to identify himself permanently with earth. I've got to view the position I'm in, and that is my prayer, and that is my intention, the position of being the president of the Southern Union and making clinical decisions during the day and ecclesiastical decisions during the day. I've got to make sure that whatever I do, whatever badges I wear, they have to operate according to God's behest, according to his intentions and not mine. Hmm. And that's a journey. As I indicated, and I got a little sarcastic about, you know, you spit on me, the last spit you spat. You know, obviously, everyone know that that was just an act of insecurity. And that's kind of how human beings think. When I succumb to that, then it's easy to forget. I start taking personally sometimes the insults of people as I try to lead, as I try to govern, or sometimes the eggs that get thrown at me as I try to lead and try to govern. If I start taking that personally, then that's the genesis of the very origin of my fall. That's when I'm really going to start failing at the work that I do, because I'm not doing it God's way. Mm. Because look at what he's had to endure, mm-hmm. to condescend. Yeah. And of course, I'm not putting myself on the status of Jesus. I'm just doing a little typology there. My little puny little station where God has allowed me to serve people. If I don't view it as that, as an opportunity to serve people and help people, the way he serves and helps me as an exhibition of his strength and his muscles, then I missed the whole point of salvation. Because the whole cross experiment, the showcasing of that is basically designed for us to see, you know, God's amazing love. And there's a word I'm looking for: unconditional love. Mm-hmm. In spite of how we treat him, in spite of what the circumstances are, I'm going for it. I'm giving my all, because my one intention is to serve you. And service in this sense means I've got to redeem you from a life of separation from what's good, and embrace you into everything that is good.
You know, I really liked what you said earlier. It resonated with me about, you know, people who have power. It goes against your natural instinct to give it away. Mm-hmm. And thinking about Jesus and thinking about the idea of self-limiting omnipotence, the kenosis, this self-emptying, Jesus had power to lay down. Mm-hmm. And I was really curious as I was listening to you speak, what about people that don't have any power to lay down? What about people who are voiceless or marginalized or who don't have the kinds of resources or degrees or whatever that might give them power? Would you have preached the same sermon?
Probably I would have, yes, because I think at every sphere, at every level of life, wherever, if we are on Skid Row, you know, I might have a hidden bottle of booze that maybe I need to try and share with somebody. And if I can be selfish and take it all myself and try to, you know, confiscate whatever is coming the way of someone, that's at every level of life. I think, two children, two little babies, below toddlerhood, you know, if they're learning how to find their way and play, and you put two little babies on the floor and a toy in the middle, then the human instincts begin to showcase and manifest themselves.
That's true. Just, I guess power is relative.
Yeah.
Everybody has power.
And it really is. It's relative. And you said it so well just now. And it's a very good question. I really think that at every level of life that we find ourselves, this is something that we have to manage.
Yeah, that's something to think about, that the power on every level, even if it's not something maybe someone else would consider power, no matter where you are, you have a degree of it.
No, I really like that, because I do think that there's a tendency for us to, I think that there's a tendency, no matter who you are, to think the other person's the person who has power, right?
Right.
Or the power you want.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm just the lead pastor at Whole Life. There's Alan Machado, who's the president of the Florida Conference. Now there's some power there. I think there's always this tendency for us to think that way. And yet each one of us has power. And I really appreciate you saying that. I think that I love the idea that you would preach that no matter where you're at, because I think we all do. I think that
sure.
I think that's such a good point.
And I know you have other questions, but if I can just make
Absolutely.
Another comment on this, this is a great conversation. You know, sometimes we, for example, we don't know that people have the badges, if I can use that nomenclature, the badges of surviving sufferings. You know, we see them smiling, we see them perfumed up, we see them dressed neatly, and we see them teaching a beautiful Sabbath school class or a Bible class or Sunday school class or whatever. And we just kind of conclude, you know, they've got it together. They've got it together.
Yeah.
A lady came to me the other day, a senior lady who, you know, dealt with a number of health issues, and she says, you know, it's very difficult for you to comprehend what a person like me and others around you, while you're in your ivory tower, she says, while you're in your ivory tower, there are people who are sick, there are people who are struggling, there are people who are dying. And until you experience some of that yourself, you're never really going to understand. This lady has no idea that I endured 24 years ago a stroke where I was crippled for 2 years. I could not walk. She has no idea that I, on the same day, received two cancer diagnoses, which, by the way, they're healed now, okay? But during COVID, I was diagnosed with cancer, two different cancers. Had to have surgery, had to go through radiation and all of that. And yet I'm an old man, as I was preaching about, with dye in my hair, you know, an old man. And, you know, I'm still running 6-7 miles a day. Basically, I guess people can look at that and they look at a position and they look at, and I'm kind of overdressed today, you know, but they look at a black suit and a white shirt and a tie and they just conclude he's kind of got it made. Or maybe they can mention maybe a credential that I have or so, and they can just conclude that, you know, he, you know, one day what goes up must come down, they have no idea that, hey, each of us is down sometimes. I didn't come here today to preach about my cancer that was healed. One day I will. You know, if Pastor Ken ever invites me back and wants to talk about the power of healing or something, I might even talk about it, you know. But you get the point I'm trying to make. You know, we ascribe status and circumstantial ambiance to a person, not really knowing what they've endured and what they go through. Mm-hmm. Because the reality is, once we join this journey called life, meaning when we are born and we live on this planet, we will suffer ups and downs, trials and tribulations, hardships and blessings. You know, we'll just experience it all. And God doesn't hold us responsible for our feelings, but he does hold us responsible for what we do with our feelings. Hmm. So we're going to go through stuff. But how do we manage that in a way that will exhibit the power that God has for us?
Nice.
To exhibit? We might call it power, but I call it an opportunity to reach.
I like that. Melanie, just real quick, we didn't talk about this before we started. You are the grand poobah today. When do we have to be out?
I think we have about 25 more minutes.
Oh, okay, good.
At least I have 25 more minutes. I might need to slip out.
Maybe let's try to go ahead and keep it
at like 15 or 10.
15 to 15-ish, so that Dr. Smith has some time to catch his breath.
So he doesn't have to run downstairs and just immediately hit the stage. Yeah. I gotcha. As always, we want to get to the questions that we had, and we had a conversation. Anonymous, too, it's good to see you back in the chat. I think it's been a podcast episode or two since we had a question. And they asked, why was Lucifer cast down to earth when God knew we were here and he knew how evil Satan was? Couldn't Satan be banished to some uninhabited place?
That's a good question. I think that's one of those ones, right, that you just kind of... We can all speculate on it, right? We can all speculate. I think within my framework of thinking about those things, for me, there's some literary things going on with that phrase, but there's also the idea of free will that I believe that God endowed humanity with, and he gave us the opportunity to make some decisions if we wanted to make them. I don't know if anybody else wants to weigh in.
Yes, and as I weigh along in corroborating with what Pastor Kidd has indicated, there are other worlds, there are other planets, and they're referenced in a lot of literature as unfallen worlds. And in other parts of, and everyone doesn't read what I read, certain authors like Ellen G. White, but I read what we often call through the gift of prophecy. I'm able to pick up certain perspectives, and it's very clear that when Satan was cast out, you know, there are other doors he knocked on other than the door of planet Earth. Hmm. But we are the planet that allowed him in. Okay, through that, you know, the whole saga of the tree and knowledge of good and evil.
Oh, so, hold right there. Yeah. Because that's the next question. And so maybe this will just roll right into what you're saying.
Okay.
Mama Doc said, Adam and Eve chose the wrong side and Satan was on that side. Remember, Satan left heaven well before Adam and Eve left paradise. We should trust the power of God and rejoice in the deep love of God. They distrusted God and were beguiled. That keeps happening in these last days. So would you concur with that? With okay. where you were just talking about the garden and the tree?
Yes. And the question part of that is, there was some preamble, but what was the question part of that?
Well, it was really just that we should be trusting in the power, no matter whether or not Satan could have been banished to some other place.
Sure.
We should be trusting that God had
the evidence that I have from reading the Bible, and as I am framing in this context, the gift of prophecy, as God has conveyed data through literature and other writers, is very clear that we are not the only planet that got canvassed to look at at Satan's way. There were other planets that did, and obviously the test was there for every creation, for every part of creation to experience. And we didn't pass that test. We fell short with that test. And the implication is that every generation now, we are canvassed again. Daily, we're canvassed by Satan to go right or to go left, to go the wrong way or to go the right way. And we need to choose God's way.
Yeah, and Matthew had followed up with said with the simple lie that Satan told Adam and Eve, it kind of makes sense. Adam and Eve were kind of a baby, yes, full-grown adults, but who probably didn't know better. Imagining if we were in their situation, not knowing what evil is, would our response have been the same thing? And Anonymous said, of course, more questions arise for me. I'm going to have to tune into the podcast.
I guess I might disagree a little bit with Matthew with all due respect. I think Adam and Eve knew good and well what they were doing. I don't think it was just some simple, because I serve a God who's incredibly fair. And I don't think that God allows any test to come in front of us that we don't have the possibility of passing. That God doesn't just go, well, too bad for you. I just don't see that in my reading of the Bible, talking about the authors, that, you know, I believe Adam and Eve knew exactly what they were choosing. And that's why Satan becomes the prince of this world, because they basically say, we pick your way of doing, we pick selfishness over God's love, which the way of love, we choose to live for ourselves, to do what's in my best interest versus doing what God says is for the collective good and for the good of all. And so I think that I think that sometimes we take away the agency that Adam and Eve had by being like, well, they were just really well tricked. I don't know. I really truly believe God laid it out. He said, don't eat this fruit. In the day that you do, you will die. Don't do it. And while the Bible doesn't go into a deeper discussion, I think God had a much deeper discussion with them. I think they knew exactly what was going on in the universe. I think they knew what was happening with Lucifer. And I think they wanted to know what the difference between good and evil was. I think that they thought, you know what? Maybe God is holding out on us. Maybe it is better just to do what I want to do. And they found out, and we've all found out, exactly what happens when you go ahead and say, me first.
That's the original FOMO.
That's it. And so I really feel like they made a very informed decision.
And I would concur with that. I think it had to be an informed decision, because the Lord made it clear that in the day you eat of it, you're going to die. You shall surely die. That's what he said.
Yeah.
But, you know, but they believed another voice that says, well, I know that's what he said, but you won't surely die. Okay, so then you got this choice now.
And you didn't die that day.
You didn't die that day. But then it really boiled down to, am I going to obey God or am I going to obey the other voice?
Yeah, I can see it.
Same question today.
No, it's true, and I can see it. Although I feel like today, because we're on the other side of it, we should have a much more well-informed position that, wow, this was, here's God, here's Satan. I mean, it's pretty clear to see where the two sides differ and which side you're going to choose. I mean, it still isn't easy. So if it's not easy knowing the outcome, it couldn't have been any easier, even if there's been these conversations, because you haven't lived it. You don't know it. Or is God good enough at describing it?
It comes down to, who do you trust?
Yeah, no,
who do you trust? Do you, you know, this morning, Abel and I were having a discussion about mics, and we were having a discussion about mics. I had one idea of what I wanted to do with the mic, and Abel was like, "Fine, you can do that if you want to." But I slowed down. I thought, okay, for those of you who don't know who Abel is, he's our technical director. Yep. He's in charge. And I said, okay, here I am telling him what I want to do. And he said, okay, I'll figure it out. And I had to stop and go, wait a minute. Abel's the one who knows how our sound system works. I said, okay, so tell me, Abel, is there something that I'm not thinking of why you want me to do it the way you are? And he said, yeah, it's because of X, Y, and Z. And I was like, okay, it's who do you trust?
Yeah.
It's do you think that you have the answers or who do you trust? And that for me, it's why there's what Adam and Eve were tempted with is not so much different than what we are as far as information and whatever goes, because the bottom line just continues to come down to, do you trust God or do you not?
Yeah.
Yes, and there were clear implications. I mean, at the end of the day, Adam and Eve, they certainly were cognizant that God is my creator, right?
Yeah.
He made me, okay? Yeah. And he told me, he made me now. He's my creator. And my creator says, you can have all of these trees, just don't eat from that one. Because if you do, there are some consequences. But enjoy every tree. But I, as your creator, I'm paraphrasing, I'm telling you, don't eat from that one. I mean, what could be more clear surrounding your loyalty to the creator God or to another voice? And as the pastor, I believe, has rightly said, that choice is proliferated, just continues to roll down, that every generation, every human being has to answer that question. Will I trust my own instincts? Will I trust other voices and other drummers who beat? Or am I going to listen exclusively to the voice of God?
Yeah, I don't think it's gotten any easier clearly. All right, this is the final question. And whoever had the last question in the chat, my apologies. I was going to actually, I'd already printed off everything. We were kind of quick this morning, and then the chat went off the screen when it ended, and the transcripts are not done yet. I just checked the website. So there is one more question, so I'm sorry we're not going to get to it. But the final question was the power of the mighty here on earth behind placing Jesus on the cross?
Ask that again, please.
Was the power of the mighty that you talked about here in the message, the ones with influence and the power, were they the ones on earth here behind placing Jesus on the cross? Or was that God's doing?
I think they were the instrument that God allowed.
There you go. I like that.
They were the instrument that God allowed. There were forces that be. And I think that's life. You know, the Lord places us in the instrumentation of this world for good and for not so good. And obviously his plan, Jesus came to the world to die. We know that. That was the reason he came here, and that was to redeem men and women. Well, what were the circumstances that set that up? Mm. Well, obviously those circumstances that were set up, God allowed. So it wasn't like, the mighty, they were in charge of the dynamics and the mechanics and the implementation of prosecuting people and exterminating people. But God allowed it for the purposes that he established for the salvation of people.
That was all the questions that we had that came in.
Yep.
I have one more question that I want to ask. That's kind of in a different, different direction. If that's okay.
Yeah, let's do that. Yeah, we got time for one more.
So Dr. Smith is president of the Southern Union. I always like asking folks in similar positions to you, what do you think is a good, healthy, functioning church on the local level? So if you're giving advice to Whole Life or any of the other churches in the Southern Union, what does a good, healthy church look like from your standpoint? What is it that you're hoping for when you visit churches, when you counsel with churches? What does a good, healthy church look like to you?
Okay, a church that obviously is more outward in its vision than inward. I believe that's a sign of health. And it does corroborate with the gospel. I'm not suggesting that we ought to deny or ignore what is within the church. I think the nurturing dimension of our of our leadership ought to embrace that and kind of, but that's not what's paramount. I think keeping us whole and healthy and nurtured as a congregation is designed by God to predispose us to fulfill the gospel commission. Go ye therefore, teach, preach, baptize. That's kind of outward. Okay. And then the inward part kind of, you know, and then teach members of the organization to observe all the things I've taught you and to embrace some of the imperatives and some of the initiatives that I want to put in place to make you whole so that you can go out and get more and find people and introduce them to my love. Mm-hmm. Because God's intention is to save the world. And the church is his instrument for the salvation of people. Okay, so there's a lot. It's the agency for the salvation of people. So sometimes in my assessment, we get this thing wrong. You know, there are some who just have the flavor of just nurturing those who are within the walls or the confines or the membership of a congregation. And our ministry has an emphasis in keeping those individuals whole. Well, keeping that is important. We have to keep them whole. We need to engage in that wonderful ministry. So we ought not negate that. But it's all designed not just to do that. It's designed to equip, to prepare, to nurture, and to strengthen men and women who are part of the confines of a church to reach the world. And I think that's God's intention. So a healthy church is a church that has more of a focus that's outward, but inward enough to gird up our loins, as it were, to get the resourcefulness from heaven to execute the charge of the gospel commission.
Thank you.
I don't know if I said it right. But.
No, it's not.
No, I always just like asking that question because it's always, for me, an interesting to hear perspectives from people who are in leadership on what a church needs to be doing. I remember another leader that I asked this question a number of years ago. He said, Ken, kind of along the same lines as you, he said, you know, you have to, as a church, decide whether your primary focus is inward or outward. He said, most churches want to say it's both. They're like, it's equal. He said, but nothing in life is ever equal. He said, basically, if you say it's equal, you'll wind up being inward focused because that's where our natural tendency takes us, is to care about what's happening for me in right now. He said, so you have to very intentionally choose that your primary focus, again, not forgetting the inward, but your outward has to be, you have to make that choice to be outward focused. So I really appreciated hearing that.
Well, thank you. And if I said it another way, I just look at the eagle that nurtures, you know, the little ones. And basically, once they reach a little point where they might be able to make it on their own, that nest gets stirred. Hmm. And they have to fly. They have to make it. And the goal is give them what's needed, not just for their survival, but so they can go and do likewise and just kind of proliferate that. And I think that's God's idea of the church. Sometimes I think, as a pastor, I've gotten that thing kind of twisted and mixed up. There's so many crying needs within the church. Yeah. And if we're not careful, we can make that the end all of our ministry, which is why eventually churches die. Mm-hmm. Because those people die. They go away, they move away, they get sick, and they can't be a part. And, you know, so if our whole ministry is nurture within, I think that's important, the nurturing and the within, but it's only designed to predispose people to go out and to reach more with the love of Jesus.
Love it.
That's really interesting. I think we're going to have to ponder this idea of stirring the nest a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, I think that's
Is that like throwing people out of an airplane? Like kicking them out of the nest?
There's a little insider there that we. But we'll have to talk about that as a staff if we're stirring the nest enough. Yeah. I like that. I like that metaphor a lot.
Carolina Dave, if you have comments, you know how to reach us. So Dr. Smith, thank you so much, not only for your message and for, you know, being here to preach for us today, but being gracious enough to come on the podcast. I know it's a lot.
We put this to him last minute, so he was a super good sport, because I told him he did not. I said, you do not have to do this, and he was kind enough to do this.
Heck, mega fun.
Mega fun. I like it. But we know it's a lot to do, not only two,
I started to get real colloquial. I'll say heck of fun. I mean, mega fun. I mean, being a part of this, when I was invited to be a part, I said, whoa, sure. You know, this is how we reach men and women who may not have been a part of the gathered fraternity.
Absolutely.
This is an amazing ministry. And I just tilt my hat if I could just give my personal final word.
Yeah, absolutely.
To those who are engaged in webcasting and podcasting and technology. I mean, wow, what an amazing ministry. I mean, it's extraordinary. And I just tilt my hat to it and just say kudos to you. Keep on keeping on, because the gospel is going forward because of this type of thing, these podcasts. So far be it from me to turn down the opportunity to participate when something so amazing is going on. Thank you for what you do.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And we appreciate you again, just taking that time, filling your Sabbath morning all the way to the top. I didn't also have time to write down. What's next? Oh, next
Small
week.
Communities
Small
next
communities.
Week.
Yes. Yes.
So we're not going to tease anymore, right? We're just going to be like,
we should leave it there.
Just
I think we should leave
tune
it there.
In and
just,
be there.
You don't want to miss out on this, though. This is going to be a really fun.
I mean,
Sabbath.
You did. I mean, Pastor, you did. You did an Alfred Hitchcock maneuver this morning. Man. I mean, you know, you just gave a little, just tip of the iceberg. You know, you touched the tip of our tongues with that, and you know.
Yeah, well, you may not know this, but I came from a broadcasting background. We called it at the end of if you ever listen to talk radio before you go to or any radio for that matter, really before you go to commercial, you always do a little tease. That will make the person stay through the commercial
breaks
and don't want to miss what's coming out. One of the best people I ever heard doing teases in radio is Colin Cowherd, who's a sports talk guy. And he's in my mind, he's the king of teases. So I was just trying to do a little tease.
And you did it well.
Okay.
So you don't want to miss that. There's some really cool things. And I would just also say, if you're listening to the podcast, and I know that a lot of our online family that watches and hangs out in the chat with us every week, you guys listen to the podcast. And if you're not local, this includes you. Mm-hmm. And so don't think like, oh, yes. Well, it's a small community thing and that's not going to include me because I'm not local. This absolutely 100% positively includes you.
Maybe especially.
And
maybe especially.
All right. That's the last tease.
That's it.
Guys, thanks so much. We appreciate again Dr. Smith for taking his time. We hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back next week with the tease. And we'll leave it with that. So have a fantastic week and we'll see you next time.